Now, shall we turn tonight to the Acts of the Apostles? We will read together, firstly, in chapter 17. And we will read together verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Chapter 18, verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Chapter 24. Verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Finally, chapter 26 and verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now we trust the Lord will bless to us these readings from his word. I would like to draw your attention this evening to the different attitudes which we find in these verses to the preaching of the gospel. We have men in the Acts of the Apostles who preach the gospel with an eloquence and a power far beyond anything that we would see in 19 and 91. And yet we find that everybody didn't get saved. We have read, first of all, that in response to the message of the gospel, some mocked. And then we have found of one, his name was Gallio, and it says he cared for none of those things. Then we have read together of a Felix. And while he seemed in a measure interested, he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Then in chapter 26, we have that well-known story of King Agrippa. And as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, his response was, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Then we have read that some believed. So we have these five responses in the hearts of the people to the preaching of the gospel. The mockers, the careless, the procrastinators, one who was almost persuaded, and then thank God for those who responded to the message and believed. As the Apostle Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, and he mentioned the resurrection, it says some mocked. In the world today, there are many mockers. There are those who scoff at the preaching of the gospel. They would tell you, "How do you think that a man who died 2,000 years ago could possibly save sinners in this present generation?" I want to tell you, dear friend, The man Christ Jesus who died almost 2,000 years ago, he lives again. God raised him from the dead, and he has ascended to God's right hand. And whatever men may do, whatever their response may be, some may mock, but there's a day coming when they won't mock. Because my Bible says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm perfectly satisfied that there would be none in this company who would mock the preaching of the gospel. But then we have a man called Gallio, and as Paul is brought before him, he showed an indifference. He was completely disinterested. He was careless. We've read together, Gallio cared for none of these things. I wonder if there might be some in the meeting tonight, and that is your attitude. You have heard the gospel preached in the nights that are past. Others are concerned in relation to your future and your eternal welfare. We have sought to sound out notes of warning, sought to tell you of a heaven to gain and of a hell to shun. And yet, this Saturday night finds you still careless. I want to tell you, dear friend, if that is your condition, I don't understand you. Don't you realize that you have a precious soul within your bosom that will live while God lives? And once we cross the boundary line into God's eternity, there is no coming back. Our destiny will be forever fixed, and it will be either with Christ or in the depths of despair. Friend, I want to tell you, you cannot afford to be careless, because we are living in the very closing days of the dispensation of grace. The Lord's coming is at hand. Shortly he is going to fulfill his promise and give that summoning shout. God has been very good to some in this company. Oh, the goodness of God would lead you to repentance. Another time the doors have been opened in conference hall for the preaching of the gospel, and we appreciate the exercise of our dear brethren in relation to reaching those who are not saved and giving us this opportunity to bring the gospel before you night after night. My friend, I want to tell you, the Lord's coming is very near, and some may be sitting in their last gospel meetings. Yea, indeed, for all of us, it may be the last series of gospel meetings in Brisbane. And yet, is it possible that you are still careless? Oh, my dear friend, I know that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. May God open your eyes this evening to realize the serious situation in which you find yourself. Some may be, and before another few days roll their course, they may be gone into God's eternity. On the very brink of eternity, only the breath in your nostrils keeping you out of a burning hell. My dear friend, I want to tell you, you cannot afford to be like this man. You cannot afford to be careless. But then we find in chapter 24, a man called Felix, and he was privileged to listen to one of the greatest preachers that the world has ever seen, the Apostle Paul. And as the Apostle reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, it says Felix trembled. Oh, I want to tell you, dear friend, here was a man, and he was disturbed. He was awakened. He was caused to realize his condition. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul preached with all fervor and with all earnestness as he warned this dear man of judgment to come. Let me tell you this evening, there is judgment to come. There is judgment to come. For the Christ rejecter, it will be judgment to come throughout the ages of the ages of the ages that lie before us. There never will come a time when, if you die in your sins, there never will come a time when you will be able to say, well, that's the finish. That's the end. Now I'm delivered. Friend, the thought of eternity in the blackness of darkness and in eternal torment. It strikes terror into my very soul. I tremble for you this evening as we think of the solemn possibility that some who have listened to our preaching will put it off and eventually die in their sins. Oh, my dear friend, here was a man, and he had a wonderful opportunity of being saved. For under the preaching of the Apostle Paul, thousands were led to Christ. Thousands will people heaven because the Apostle carried the gospel into Europe and into those pagan cities. I wonder, my friend, as we preach the gospel this evening, is it possible that you are going to, like Felix, put it off? Put it off. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow I mean to believe. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow my Savior receive. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Thus day after day he went on. Oh, my friend, let me tell you, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Don't put it off, my friend. God has given you an opportunity and privileged us to bring the gospel to you another evening. We do trust that you will be wise tonight. And don't allow the devil to tell you there's time enough yet. Oh, I know that for the most part, indeed I'm perfectly sure in my own mind that if I were to go round one by one and ask you, do you intend to be in heaven? I would get a positive response from every individual. You never intend to be in hell. You never intend to be lost. You never intend to die in your sins. But let me ask you, friend, if God is speaking to you tonight for the last time, and death should overtake you before another sunrise, will it be in God's heaven, or will it be in the depths of hell? We read last night of a man, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. I want you to ponder that, friend. Just stop for a moment and ponder. What would it mean to close your eyes in time, to open them on the other side of the fixed gulf, and realize, I have missed salvation. I have spurned my day of grace. I have refused God's offered mercy. And now there's no hope. There's no hope. I tell you, friend, there are no atheists in hell. There are no agnostics in hell. There are none in the depths of despair that do not believe. But it's too late. It's too late. Let me warn you, with earnestness, with sympathy in my heart, and with love for your soul, dear friend, don't trifle with God's salvation and your eternal destiny. But even tonight, turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. In chapter 26, we read of King Agrippa. And as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel on that day to that notable audience, and he addressed King Agrippa personally, this was his response: almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, I wonder, are you there tonight, friend? Surely there must be some in the company, and just a step to Jesus. Only a step to the kingdom. Only one step, my friend, to the blessing of salvation and everlasting life and a place in glory. So near to heaven. But remember, as one has said, there's a way to hell from the very gate of heaven. And the devil is still by your side, friend. And he'll do everything in his power to hold you in his grip. Are you going to allow the devil to deceive you? Are you going to allow him to
to cause those attractions of the world to put you past salvation. Don't let the devil deceive you any longer, friend. Now is the time to be saved. Oh, thank God, the invitation still goes forth. The message of the gospel is still being sounded out to the whosoever. And you could be saved tonight. You could be saved even while you sit in the meeting. If not saved, dear friend, I trust that you won't leave the building until you have this matter settled. Don't put it off like Felix did. Don't procrastinate. Don't, my friend, do like Agrippa. Allow other things to sway you in a wrong direction. But I do trust that there may be some in this company tonight, and you will be prepared to be like those in chapter 17 of whom we read. And they believed. They believed. And they were saved. Just by a simple act of faith, taken from the broad way, placed upon the narrow way, taken from the miry clay, and your feet set upon the rock Christ Jesus, lifted from the depths of despair, lifted, my friend, to be placed as sons of God. Oh, what blessings are in store for those who believe. And God has brought salvation right within the reach of everyone. And all you have to do is accept it. My Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not a word about his works. Not a word about his own merits. No, dear friend, we have sought to tell you again and again that salvation is not found in any effort of my own, neither in my baptism, nor in my church going. Neither is it found, dear friend, in the quality of your faith. There are some, you know, and they kind of feel, well, I haven't got the right kind of believing. I wonder, is that your problem? I want to ask you, if one of your nearest friends were to come and tell you something this evening, would you begin to question? What an insult to them to say, well, I find it hard to really believe you. I'll tell you, your friend wouldn't be very happy, would he? And yet, that is exactly how you've been treating the Word of God. God has told the sinner to believe. Listen to the question, what must I do to be saved? And the reply was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You can believe your fellow men, you can believe your companions, and yet not prepared to believe God. Tell me, you think God will ever fail his promise? Never, dear friend. God's promises are yea and amen. God's promises are like the rock that can never be moved. When heaven and earth have passed away, my word remains. Dear friend, we can put our feet upon it. We can rest our souls upon it. We can rely upon it absolutely, without question and without a doubt. And when God says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, I accept that. I believe it. I take it in. I rest upon it. And I know, on the authority of the promise of God, that I shall never be lost. Why not do it now, friend? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.